Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org. Hey, SCF Online community, welcome today to Shanghai Community Fellowship Online here on our YouTube channel. Before we get into today's message, we want to just have a bit of a heart-to-heart talk with you, because you may or may not realize we don't keep track, and there really isn't any way for us to know who you are. All right, so people are watching. We see a number. We know that on any given weekend, we might have a dozen people watching or a dozen views, which means that 12 different computers are on. It might be six people in the room, but 12 different computers are watching, I guess you could put it that way. And we could have as many as 50 or more. So what we'd like to do is to know you a little better. We kind of want to know who you are. And if you could write to us, you could email us at dale.kukau. That's my name. It's going to come up on the screen. dale.kukau@scfenglish.com. Use that email address to write to us and tell us that, yes, I am watching you online. I watch, every week. I watch every once in a while. Give us a sense how often you watch. And also, could you let us know where you are? Particularly, we want to know how many of you are actually in the city of Shanghai and how many of you are outside of the city of Shanghai. So we want to know a little bit more about you. Maybe you want to let us know if you've ever lived in Shanghai. Did you at one time, if you're outside of the city at this point, did you at one time actually physically attend SCF? So, of course, your name. Yeah, please tell us your name, and that's maybe obvious. But let us know a little bit about yourself. We'd love to connect with our online community. I'd love to know more about you. And here's the other thing. We really want to be able to communicate with you as we consider making changes. And so that's something we are considering, is making some changes here to our online YouTube channel. And what we'd love to do is be able to communicate with people. There's not that many, so we'd like to give you kind of a heads up when changes are coming. So that's what it's all about. Please write us. We'd love to hear from you at dale.kukau, my name, at scfenglish.com. All right, let's get into today's message. Some of you may know that my wife Becky and I, were recently on an extended trip to the U.S. It was good to get back, and those of you who have lived it as expats, I'm assuming that many of you listening have, so you know what it's like to live in another country that is not your birth culture or your birth country. You know you have things that you need to take care of while you're away, legal things, accounting things, family responsibilities, whatever. We're not that cut off. We do have to, and we had to do some of these things too. So we had to take an extended time to reconnect with the network of churches where I'm ordained. But we were also very happy to celebrate with our youngest daughter. She graduated from university. And we were there for her and with her to celebrate that as she finished up her time there in Southern California. And then we were with her and worked with her to go through driver's training, make sure she got lots of practice time in with a licensed driver. That would be me and Becky. Take the driver's license exam and pass, and then move her to where she's going to be living for the next year. So it was really quite a bit. But we are very, very glad to be home. Now, of course, when I say we're glad to be home, what I mean is China, right? This is, Becky and I have lived in China for almost 20 years. Out of the last 23 or so years, we've lived 20 of these years here in China, particularly in Shanghai. So when we're in the U.S., even though with our family, and we are where we were born, and we spent a lot of that time in the part of the U.S. where we were born and raised, when we would talk to our family members and friends, we would say this: well, we're really excited about going home. And they would look at us like, well, you are home, aren't you? Aren't you home? Well, yeah, we're home, but we're not home. You know, China is our home, and I try to explain it. You know, China is our emotional home, and we feel at home there. It's kind of a feeling thing. And yeah, the state of Ohio in the U.S. is our home because we were born here, and I spent a good chunk of our adult lives there. But you get it. If you've lived as an expat, then you get that struggle of where is home. Where is home? And if you've ever talked to a TCK, a third culture kid, and you ask them the question, hey, where are you from? So many times those kids are like, let's see, I was born here, but my dad is from Germany and my mom is from Hong Kong. But I was raised in, Tajikistan, and I've never actually lived in Germany. My citizenship is, this kind of person who kind of belongs everywhere and doesn't belong anywhere. This idea that we could be someplace, that we could be in a place, but really not be of that place, is something that Jesus describes when he prays for us in John chapter 17. Now, I'm not saying he's describing the expat experience, but there's something about the expat experience that kind of becomes a metaphor of what Jesus is talking about when he talks to us in his prayer, when he actually prays for us, because he knows we're going to be in one world, but we're not going to be of that world. And that's a very interesting dynamic, especially when he means in the world as in a world that does not acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ or the sovereignty of God or the presence of his kingdom, that world. And when he says that we're of another world, he's talking about the world that he has created. It's the world of the kingdom of Christ. It is the world where God is sovereign and rules and reigns, and his presence is known in its fullness. And we are of that world. In one place, Paul would describe it as we've been pulled out of the kingdom of darkness, a world that we are in and of. We are pulled out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light so that we can be of that world, the kingdom of light, but yet at the same time, very much physically be in still the world called, he refers to as the kingdom of darkness. So Jesus is very, very much aware of what this actually means because he lived in this world. He lived in the world that you and I live in. And he knows, the Bible says he was tempted in every way like as we are. So he knows what it's like to live in this world. And in John chapter 17, when he prays for us, I mean, it's a prayer that is coming out of personal experience. It's a prayer that is filled with compassion and love for you and for me to live the life that we're going to live while we are in the world and not of the world. Jesus understands the kind of thing that has happened to us and what that thing means as we keep living in the world. So this is how he prays. John 17, verses 13 to 19. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Now, all of John chapter 17 is a prayer, sometimes called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And when Jesus prays, I'm coming to you now, there's a context there that you would have gotten in the first 12 verses that he's praying to his Father, Father God in heaven, and he's praying concerning his disciples. He's praying concerning the disciples who are in the room with him that night. But I believe he's also praying for every single person who would ever follow Jesus, that while he may not be physically present with us, that his joy is with us and that we would know the full measure of his joy. I have given them, Jesus said, your word, and the world has hated them. This is what it's like to be in the world, but not of the world. We have the word of God, and not everybody is going to be happy to hear the word of God in us or to see the word of God in us. What's wrong with you? Who are you? What are you doing here? Why are you saying these things? You're making me feel uncomfortable. Light is sometimes welcome, but sometimes the light is not welcome. The darkness would rather remain darkness. The light makes a difference. And Jesus knows this, and he prays for us, because sometimes we are hated because we are the light as he was the light. For they are not of the world, Jesus would pray, any more than I am of the world. They're like me, Jesus would pray. Father, they're like me. My prayer is not that you take them, Father God, not that you take them out of the world, not asking you to just pull them out, just lift them out of the world so they don't have to live with this tension, but that you protect them while they are in the world. Now, remember, Jesus is praying about you and me, that we protect you and protect me while I'm in the world from the evil one. They are, again, he says it again, verse 16. We are not of the world, even as Jesus was not of the world. So he says, sanctify them, set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself. I set myself apart that they too may be truly sanctified. You know, on this night, Jesus is going to pray two prayers. This is the night before Jesus is crucified. This is the night of the Passover that you can read about in all of the Gospels. And this is the night where Jesus is with his disciples and he's praying for them. And we read this first prayer in John chapter 17. But also on this same night, Jesus will pray another prayer, maybe one that you're more familiar with. He will pray with great sweat drops of blood. He will pray, Father, yet not as I will, but as you will. Filled with great passion, filled with great sorrow, he will pray and pour out his heart before his Father, greatly disturbed within him because of the cross that is before him. And some people have looked at this and looked at Jesus and said, how could the same person be praying these two different kinds of prayers on the same night? In one moment, he's praying with confidence. He's praying that the disciples, his followers, people that are walking and following him would know the same joy that he knew, have the same resolve that he had, and have the same protection and victory over the enemy that he knew. And yet in the same evening, he would pray, oh God, I just can't go forward. Oh God, we can't go forward with this. I can't go forward with this. If there's any possible way for this to change, how can someone pray these same prayers? But, you know, I look at these prayers of Jesus and I think to myself, I've prayed these same prayers and so have you. Two different kinds of prayers. At one moment, you're praying full of faith, full of confidence. In another moment, you're praying filled with despair and you just don't know how it's going to all work out. In fact, you're not even sure it's going to work out at all without you being hurt in the process. I think it shows to us the humanity of Jesus. He is really much, very much like us. He is confident, he is hopeful, he is overwhelmed with sorrow, and he is trusting in his Father, like you are and like I am. As I said in a moment ago, that a key concept here in this prayer that Jesus prays is the idea of world. What does Jesus mean by world? What does John, the disciple who wrote these words, mean by world? Now, let me say, to be clear, Jesus is not saying that it's a mistake for us to be on planet Earth. We should have gotten on a spaceship and flown to the moon or some other planet in the meta-universe, like a comic book storyline. That's not what he's not talking about, the physical world. He's not talking about the continents. He's not talking about climate change here. He's not talking about multiple universes. He's not talking about the physical world. He's talking about the world system that aligns itself against God. Anytime you want to see what that world looks like, just go to your favorite news station, news channel on the internet, wherever you get your news, just flip it on. You're going to see what the world is like without God. You're going to see what the world is like where he's not recognized for his authority. And the people, humanity, they do not yield to him or surrender to him or his son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's this world that is under control of the evil one and that is opposed to the heart and will of the Father that Jesus is talking about. Because we are in this world, except our heart is aligned with the Father. And that's a place of tension. That is a place of struggle. Yet it is a place of great victory and joy and happiness and strength. We don't abandon those things. But it is a place of tension. And so Jesus prays for us, those of us who are in this world. Jesus loves this world, by the way, and he's not given up on this world. He's not abandoned us. He's not abandoned his physical world, and he's not abandoned those who are even his enemies. Jesus has come for them, and he has us here, you and I, to reach them as well in his name. We're going to experience the same victories as Jesus. We're going to experience the same miracles just like Jesus. We're going to experience and walk with the same healings that Jesus would know for ourselves and praying for others as well. The same provision, but also the same sufferings, the same rejections, and the same battles, and at times even the same hostility. To be in this world and not of this world is to walk and live in this world like Jesus did. Like Jesus did. So he prays. He knows what he's talking about. He prays. He knows how to pray. I know it's like, hey, I know what my brothers and sisters are going to be going through, and I pray for them. He prays for them. He prays for them in a way that gives them four things, let's call them four keys to being in the world but not of the world. The first key would be this. He prays that they would have the word. He prays, my brothers and sisters, these people who are following me, who are precious to me, Father, and are precious to you, the first key for them to be in the world and not of the world is to know that they have the word. They have the word of the Father, even as I had the word of the Father. He said the second key, as he prayed for them and for us, is that we would be aware and know and experience the protection of the Father. Now, real protection in real time. Thirdly, the third key, he prays that they would be sanctified, that they would be set apart. In other words, is to be holy. And now we're going to take a little time with that one, because what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be sanctified? Why would Jesus pray this way for us? Why would he pray if he wanted us to be able to be in the world but not of the world successfully, fruitfully, effectively? Then why did Jesus feel and know that he must pray that we would be set apart and be made holy in this world? More about that in a few minutes. And the fourth key and lastly is he prayed that they would be and that we would be self-aware that we have been sent to this world. We have been sent to the world that we are in. So let's look at all four of these one by one. Jesus prayed that they would receive the word of the Father. Now, you know, the word of the Father is available to us 24/7. If you have a copy of the Bible, you can pick it up and you start to read it, and you are holding in your hands the word of the Father. Anyone can get a copy of the word of the Father. Now, I recognize that there are many places in the world today, it would be very, very difficult to get the word of the Father. There are places like this in the world today where it is very, very difficult to get the word of the Father. Maybe some would even say nearly impossible. But praise be to God, there are other people who are working day and night to get the word of the Father to anyone who would desire the word of the Father, to make the word of the Father accessible to every single person. Now, nearly 8 billion of us on the planet, every person having access to the word of the Father. But just having it, just having a hard copy of it, just having a soft copy of it, on your phone, a program, an app, isn't the same exactly as receiving it. Because when I read that word, my heart has to be open to receiving it as the word of the Father itself. Brother Paul said something one time to a group of Christians, and he was describing when he first met them and first told them about Jesus and first gave them the word of the Father. He talked about and helping them to remember, when that happened, you received that word, you received the word of the Father as the Father's word to you. And that's the turning point. It's what's going on in my heart and in my head. You know, it's why people all over the world can pick up a Bible, they can go into their university library, and there's a copy there, and they can just read it, blah, 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 blah. They can read other ancient religious documents, say, yeah, they're all the same, I don't see any difference, because to them, these are just words on paper. But these Thessalonian Christians, and you and I, when we start to read that word, we know, this is the word of the Father to me. It's a word that we receive as his word to us. We're not just reading off of the page. When my kids were little, preschoolers, you know, toddlers, we used to take them to something called Story Hour. And this was when we were living in the U.S., and our local library would invite children, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, and you go to the library, maybe on a Saturday afternoon, I don't know, weekday afternoon, and the librarian would gather all the children in the children's section, and then the librarian would read a story, read a book to the kids. Now, every now and then, but not very often, the actual author of the book would be there to read to the children. So all those little kids gathered around, sitting in a semicircle with the author of the book right in their midst, and he or she is reading to those kids. He or she is reading his word, his words to them. And the image of that made me think so much of what my Father, your Father, is doing for you and I. We sit at his feet, and by his Spirit, he is reading his word to you, reading his word to me. Secondly, Jesus prayed as a key to be in the world and not of the world, is that we would know that we are and that we would experience the protection of the Father. That we would experience the protection of the Father. Father, I pray, protect them. Protect them, even as Jesus was protected. You know, last year, I wrote an article for a magazine, and I interviewed many, many people. But what was the thing that had every person I interviewed with in common was that everyone I interviewed had been born in Asia, for one, and they all became Christians at some point. So they were now Christians, but they had all been born in Asia. And you know, almost all of them, in telling their story, recalled the years before they became Christians, how even though they may have been religious or maybe they weren't religious, the sense of fear and a sense of needing to be protected. They would describe this sense of, you know, of basically vulnerability. You know, something could happen to me. A spirit can come on me. Somebody could put the evil eye on me. Someone could curse me. You know, someone could, whatever, go to a temple, go to here or there, do something spiritually. They were aware of a spiritual reality of darkness and curse, and they realized, I'm afraid because I'm vulnerable. And they pursued different things so that they could be protected. Their families pursued different ways so that they could experience protection. But every one of them said the same thing. We never had the assurance of being protected. I mean, we did what we could do. We prayed the prayers we were told to pray. We lit the incense sticks that we were told to light. You know, we chanted the chants, but I never felt that protection that I was seeking. And I certainly didn't experience it. It wasn't until they met Jesus Christ, the one in whose name all fear is cast out, because Jesus is perfect love, that they know, that we know that they were indeed protected by the Father. I like something that author and pastor Louis Giglio says here. He says, you know, when we read the story, the biblical story of David and Goliath, and if you know that story, many of you probably do, and you might want to go back and read it again, you know, Pastor Giglio said, we always put ourselves in the place of David. You know, Goliath is the giant. It was a giant. And Goliath is the enemy. Goliath is the one that is stronger than strong. Goliath is the one who's obviously going to win this battle. And little David has just got 5 smooth stones and a sling. And we put ourselves in that place. I'm David, and I'm taking on these giants. Giglio makes the point that you're not David. You and I are not David. Jesus is David. Jesus is David. He's the one who takes on the giants. Jesus is the one who takes on the giants and defeats them. And what it is for you and I, what it means for you and I, is not to be a David, but to find ourselves and put ourselves in Christ, the David who has defeated the giants. I am living out the victory of Jesus over my enemies when I live in Christ and Christ lives in me. And this is what Jesus prayed. This is what Jesus is praying, that we would we would not be taken out of the world, but in this world we would be protected. This truth that comes from Proverbs 18:10 is as real and as helpful as it was when it was first spoken. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Now let me just get very practical right now, and very real where you and I live. Because there are times when we are going to feel unprotected. We're maybe going to feel uncertain about our protection. Our vulnerabilities are going to begin to overwhelm us. We're going to be very much aware that we have a spiritual enemy because we feel like we're being attacked by that spiritual enemy. And we are, probably are. Jesus has given us his name. Use his name. If you can't think of anything else to say, and you can't think of any fancy prayers to pray or scriptures to quote, and you can quote them and should, you can always pray the name of Jesus. Use his name. Use his name. Thirdly, the third key that Jesus spoke of was that we would be made holy by the Father. To be in the world and not of the world, fruitfully and effectively, just like Jesus, we need to be holy and set apart, just like Jesus. Now, it's a difficult concept to get sometimes, but let's give it a try. You know, way back when, God said that I will live with you, and he did. He had them build a special house called a temple. And although God does not live in houses, and the presence of God is so great that even the universe cannot contain him, let alone a temple-like building in the Middle East, God said, I will share and put my presence in that place. But he said, listen, my presence is a holy presence. It's just another way to describe that I am not like you. And holiness is just another way to describe the character of God. He said, but there's something about this character, and that if you were to be in my presence and I didn't protect you, the holiness and the nature of my character, you would just be consumed by me. That's how great God is, right? You know, just like, there are other things, but we're going to try to look for any metaphors. It's just that God's character and nature are so magnificent and powerful and awesome and not human that to be in his presence with this flesh and blood, his holy presence, it would consume us. And so he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you into my holiness so that we, you and I, God said, can share the same space. Why does he want to do this? Because he loves us that much. God wants to be with you that much. So yesterday, that table that was in your garage or in your basement or in your flat, now it's going to be in the place called the temple, which is a holy place. Yesterday, it was just a table in your flat. Today, it's a table in the temple of God, and that makes it a holy temple because that table is now in God's presence. That table is now in God's house. Jesus comes along, and he takes this concept, not just a concept, he takes this practice, and he turns it completely upside down. Not that maybe it's not so upside, not so much upside down, but he fulfills it in... in a way that just takes it at and to another level. Because what Jesus does, it says, hey, now it's no longer just about going to God's house and spending a couple of hours there or having a designated person like a priest go into God's holy house and represent us there. Jesus said, I'm going to come with my holy presence because Jesus is God. I'm going to come with my holy presence and I'm going to live in your house. And when he talked about the house, he meant me, you. So now God's holy presence is in me. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, God is going to live in this house. His holy presence is going to be in this house. And the more he lives in this house, the longer he lives in this house, the more I become like him, the more he transforms me into his likeness, and I begin to love the things that he loves and stay away from the things that he stays away from. I like something author Mark Scarlatta says here. He says, the more we become holy in this way, the more we are drawn to God. The more we are become holy because God's holy presence is in me, the more I'm drawn to the one who is in me. And the deeper we experience him. We love as he loves. We are drawn to other people as he is drawn to other people and not away from them. The more we want to be like him and show mercy and compassion to others and not judge, especially to those who are poor, especially to those who are oppressed. And Jesus would say, especially to the people that we call our enemies. Holiness is loving like God loves in our speech, in our thoughts, and especially in our relationships. It's the key to living in this world, is to be living like a person who has been set apart by God, as if God himself, with the fullness of his holy presence, is living in me and through me, because he is. We've invited him in to be there. The last key was this. He said, Father, my disciples, those who are following me, are going to continue to live in this world. This world is going to be hostile. This world is like it was hostile to me. This world is not going to understand. This world is going to resent the light that they bring. Make them aware. Let them be aware that they, like me, have actually been sent to this world. Not to resent the world, not to resent people, not to curse them, but to bring them hope and life and the light of the good news of Jesus, even as the gospel of Jesus was brought to you and to me. You know, you can look at the story of Jesus, and at one level, you see a miraculous birth. We celebrate it every December. The miraculous birth of the baby Jesus born to Mary, living in the home of Mary and his earthly father, Joseph. And there he is. He's a good boy. He's growing up in fullness, in the fullness of the stature of God and the wisdom of God. He's a good boy. He's promising. He's the kind of kid that people like. Like this young man's going to really do well someday. Look at, he's learning how to be a carpenter just like his dad. He's going to be great. This kid's going to do really well. But Jesus was doing more than just living among us as a good person. He'd been sent by the Father to save us and to save this world. Jesus was sent to do his Father's will. Jesus was sent to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was sent to give his life as a ransom for many. And he was sent to bring us to the Father. And here's the thing, he was very much aware that he was sent to do these things. And what he prays for you and I, that like him being in this world, the same world that he has come to redeem and to save and to rescue, that you and I would have the same sense of being called to this world and sent to this world, even as Jesus has been called and sent to this world. It's not easy following Jesus. It's not easy following Jesus in this world and to be rejected as others rejected him. Many of you who are listening right now know what it's like to be rejected because you are following Jesus. Your family members have told you, stop talking to us about Jesus. Maybe some of you have actually been put out of your family. You've been told, if you're going to continue on as a Christian, you're not welcome here. Co-workers resent you, not because you're obnoxious and you can't leave them alone and you keep hitting them over the head with a Bible. No, simply your righteous life and love for God in all of its sincerity are making people uncomfortable, and they're just resentful towards you and they're resisting you. And you know what that's like. Some of us come from countries and places in the world where just naming Jesus and publicly saying that you're following him brings you into a lot of trouble and discomfort and lack of advantage and suppression and all the difficulties that you could possibly imagine simply because you signed a piece of paper somewhere that said, what are you? Who are you? And you said, I am a Christian. Jesus is praying for you as he's praying for me, as he prays for everyone in the world who belongs to him, wherever we may live, that we might follow him, that we might be aware that we don't have to resent the world, but we can love the world even as our Father in heaven. This is our prayer. God, help us to love the world. Yeah, these people, these nations, these leaders, help us to love them as you love them. The world is still worth saving. You and I both know, again, turn on your news source, whatever that might be, probably the internet somewhere, and you think, wow, the world's a mess. Who can do anything about this? But our God loves the world so much that he sent his only son so that whosoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The world is in need of a Savior, and the Savior has come, and his name is Jesus, and Jesus is coming in me and in you and in his church. Let's pray. Father, we do pray today. Thank you, Lord God, for praying for us. You know the world that we live in. You know the world that we live in the bigger sense of it. But you also know the world in its particular sense, the world that we live in right now, where our address, what our address says about where we live. I live in China now. That's the world that I live in. I live right here in the city of Shanghai. I live in Moscow right now. I live in a village in Botswana right now. You know, God, the worlds that we live in, and you're praying for us to be fruitful and effective for your kingdom in those worlds, that we would be set apart from those worlds, and that we would be made holy as you are holy, that we would have a fresh word from the Father every day, like new manna, that we might be sustained in this world, that we might thrive and flourish in this world and in your kingdom by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. Thank you. For you did not forget us, nor did you abandon us. You have sent us your Spirit that we might be in every way the children of God, your children. Thank you, and we praise you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.